When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Check this dude out here. He was all happy last night. Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer, Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Good afternoon, Ryan.
It's a beautiful day, Sparky. I don't think it's a coincidence that today the sun decided to shine in Green Bay, not a cloud in the sky. It's not a coincidence, Sparky. You know why? It's a beautiful day.
Why? Why is it a beautiful day, Ryan Wood? Tell us.
Oh, Juan Soto. What an unbelievable decision that young man made to join the New York Mets. $765 million. Holy smokes. What a contract.
Yeah, it's a contract, all right. It's just short of how much it costs to build Citi Field. It's $100 million more than what it cost Jim Crane to buy the Astros 13 years ago. That is insanity, is what that is. $51 million a year, and then you let him have an opt-out after 5 years, Mets fan Ryan Wood. Not quite sure I would have gone down that path had I been the New York Mets, but that's what they allowed him to have.
You know, like, how delirious this makes any Mets fan, right? It was 5 years ago that their idea of making a major in-season, off-season acquisition was like trading for a number three pitcher. Like, it's a little mind-spinning. I was on the phone with a friend when the news was broke last night, and I screamed at the top of my lungs for 3 minutes out of nowhere. Then I had to come back to the phone conversation and be like, no, everything's actually okay. The Mets just did the impossible. So, it's you opt-outs, whatever. It's Juan Soto. He's in Flushing. It's a beautiful day.
Okay. I'm glad you are happy. You were excited last night. Just go back and look at his Twitter. He was fired up. In fairness, though, you told me that there was no way that y'all were going to get outbid for Soto. You told me this months ago that there was no way you were going to lose this.
Steve Cohen was never going to get outbid. That's the crazy thing with an owner that has endless pockets like Steve Cohen does is, you know, if he wants a player, like if he really wants a player, he's going to get the player. Because the business of professional sports is about the money. You always follow the money. There's very, very few exceptions to this, whether it's baseball, football, the NBA. You follow the money in professional sports, and the money is in Flushing, New York. That's where the money presides. So, and then you just add in the wrinkle that, I mean, you got to understand, Mets and Yankees do not compete for the same players ever, mostly because the Mets until now have never been able to compete like the Yankees financially. But this is just, it's never happened before. To rip a guy out of the Bronx and move him across town simply because you can, and it's no sweat off your wallet, it's pretty surreal.
Yeah, pretty surreal is the fact that y'all over $300 million in payroll and the Milwaukee Brewers are at $114 million. That's pretty surreal and pretty crazy to me how the sport's allowed to do what they do. But either way, let's move on to the Green Bay Packers and talk about things more people listening care about than the New York Mets. That is this. The question earlier today was, which Packers wide receiver needs to be utilized more with inside this offense? And if you go back and you look at the numbers for the last several weeks, the answer is clear as day, Jaden Reed. Who would it be for you?
No, it's Jaden Reed. You know, I think that he's not only important because he's a game changer, we've seen his big playmaking ability from the slot since week one, but I think just as important is he's critical to, he's among a handful of critical players when it comes to the slot, the red zone, when it comes to inside the 20. What he can do in the slot, his short area quickness, it's him, it's Tucker Kraft, and it's obviously Josh Jacobs. You want to finish drives, and that's something this Packers team has done a whole lot better over the past three games, really since the bye. But if you want to be better inside the 20-yard line, you have to get it to your players who are built to be good inside the 20-yard line. Jaden Reed, that's at the top of the list with Tucker Kraft, with Josh Jacobs, not to mention what he does everywhere else on the field in the slot. Yeah, I think he's the guy that you want to get involved. But this is just who the Packers are, Sparky. They don't have a number one receiver. They're going to operate as such, and it's going to be anybody's week, any given week. Any given Sunday, it could be Dontavian Wicks. It could be Christian Watson. It could be Romeo Doubs. It could be Malik Heath some week. That's who this team is. So I don't know that it's going to change, but, yeah, you do want to find a way to consistently get Jaden Reed involved in the 20, all over the field.
What about Tucker Kraft? Should they utilize him more like Kansas City does with Kelce and Kittle in San Francisco? Is he being underutilized too?
You know, Kansas City doesn't have the depth at receiver that the Packers do.
True.
So that is something that is a strength of this offense. I don't think you want to get rid of that for a knee-jerk reaction like, hey, there's this really good tight end here, right? The strength of this offense is that Jordan Love can throw to any number of guys. That's going to remain a strength. But, yeah, I think when you look at down the stretch, guys that have the potential to take even more of a step and become a difference maker for this roster, Tucker Kraft's near the top of the list there because he's a unicorn, man. Like, how many guys in this league you just give a five-yard dump off to, and he can go to the house no matter where he's at? The game-breaking ability he has as a ball carrier after the catch, how dang tough he is to tackle. You definitely want to be making sure that each week Tucker Kraft is heavily involved in the offense.
So with Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. You're listening to Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on The Fan. Let's talk about Romeo Doubs. Any concern that he is still in concussion protocol as of today?
Yeah, it's early in the week. You know, it's hard to be concerned because the reality is that if you take one of these guys out of the offense, just like Romeo Doubs last week in Detroit, you can still function at a very high level and score 31 points on the Lions defense on the road in prime time. Like, that's the benefit of having this depth, is any one piece to the whole cog, you take them out, they still function at a high level. So you obviously want all your pieces. Romeo Doubs, we'll have to – I have no idea. You know how it works, Sparky. When these guys go into concussion protocol, nobody knows anything. So we'll have to see.
Breaking news here from the Packers. They've signed Michael Jordan to the practice squad. Michael Jordan, now a Packer, the former Patriots guard, now a Packer. But it's still fun to say Michael Jordan as a Packer, Ryan Wood, because I'm a child. Okay, let's talk about a couple other things here as far as this Packers team goes kind of going forward. That game against the Lions, they got off to a really slow start, obviously, there in that game. Watson had a fumble. Love missed an easy throw to Tucker Kraft. Do they have to play almost perfect in order to beat that Lions team in the playoffs?
Probably. That's a really good Lions team. You know, I think that Matt LaFleur came today with the answer that I've been wondering all weekend, which was you have to know at this point what your offensive identity is. And we just spent all this time talking about the depth of receiver, and that's great. That really is. That's the strength of this offense, but it's not their identity. Their identity is Josh Jacobs. It's the run game. It's the physicality that he presents in the backfield, the ability to have balance and to stay on schedule down in distance, which is what Josh Jacobs gives you. Why does it take to the fourth drive to finally realize that? I thought it was interesting what Matt LaFleur said. He said that basically the Packers came out in 11 personnel. The Lions came out in their 3-4 base. They were begging us to throw, is what Matt LaFleur said. And they took the bait. They threw starting out of the gate, the first three drives. And it didn't go well, right? Now, maybe it goes better if not for the fluke that was Christian Watson's fumble. But still, it didn't look like them. Because them is the run game. It's Josh Jacobs. And then that fourth drive, they decided, okay, screw it. We're going to be who we are. We're going to operate through Josh Jacobs. And suddenly the offense looks like themselves They score 24 points in the second half. They can't be stopped. That's what they've got. It begs the question, right? Okay, if they're begging a throw, why not just come out and be who you are anyway? All right? The hell with the 3-4 base defense that's lined up against you. You've got Josh Jacobs. You've got this offensive line that's played at a high level this year. Stick to your identity. That's what the Packers didn't do. I think if they do end up going back to Detroit next month, and there is a very firm belief in that locker room that they will, if they do, that is the correction to make. Can you stick to who you are regardless of how good the Lions are? And they are good. I think they're the best team in the NFC.
I think they're the best team in the NFL.
You stick to that. As long as Patrick Mahomes has a pulse, I'm not going to pick anybody else. But I understand your point.
Yeah, I also feel they're kind of lucky to a certain degree as well right now this year. But we'll see. We'll see if that luck runs out on the Chiefs here at some point. The other and last thing I want to get to concerning this Green Bay Packers team as they get ready for the Seattle Seahawks. And Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky were talking about this on ESPN, how well the Seattle Seahawks are running the football right now, probably better than they have the last couple of years. How much of a concern do you have week to week about this Packers run defense still? Because I feel like we've been talking about Packers run defense issues for the last decade.
Yeah, not near as much as I would have had any of the previous 9 years in this decade. The Packers run defense ultimately is not what concerns me about this defense. If you start right now listing why this, the reasons why this very talented, capable roster does not go to the Super Bowl this year, reason number one is the pass rush. The lack of pass rush. That is the biggest problem I see on this entire roster right now. They can't consistently, week in and week out, get home with four and drop seven in coverage. The great defenses do that. This defense does not. There's a lot of good things this defense does, including occasionally the run defense. I mean, they did a fine job on Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery last week. They did it in the passing game. They had, 11 catches for 63 yards and a touchdown combined. That's where the two-headed monster in Detroit really hurt this defense. It wasn't so much running the football. I think it's a capable run defense, but you've got to learn how, you got to figure out a way in this 4-3 to get home consistently of four pass rushers and drop seven in coverage. Because if you don't do that, it touches everything else. Like, you want to have consistent takeaways, pass rush. You want to be able to keep an offense off balance, pass rush. They haven't had that near consistently enough, and that's, to me, down the stretch. Those four games, they've got to figure out how to do that going into the playoffs.
1,000%. No disagreement for me whatsoever. He has Ryan Wood, a Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Big Mets fan. Congratulate him on Twitter for Juan Soto. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on.
LGM.
Let's go, Mets. I got it. Yeah, I'm on it. All right. Very good. See you, Ryan. There goes Ryan Wood. LGM, and he hangs up. Gone.